Oh, okay. Hi, everyone. Thank you for coming. This talk is about Wikipedia. My name is Ilanka Dunnan. I've been using Wikipedia for a few years, and I'm an administrator. I've written about 400 articles on the project, and I've got some slides here where I'll kind of talk about what Wikipedia is and how it can best be used. I also have another Wikipedia user here, Nathaniel.
Yep. My name is Nathaniel White. I'm instant registered on Wikipedia. I'm not nearly as prolific as Ilanka. But we've been through a few battles together.
Wiki battles.
But I've written a couple of or started a few articles myself, and know my way around it a fair bit.
Okay. Is there anyone here who doesn't know what Wikipedia is? Just to start. Okay. How many people here have used Wikipedia, say, at least once a month? And how many use it like once a day? Okay. How many people have edited articles ever on Wikipedia? All right.
Wow.
How many have tried to create articles on Wikipedia? Okay. Did it stick? It stuck around? Okay. Yeah. There's about 1,500 new articles that are created per day on Wikipedia. Per day, about 750 articles get deleted per day. So you have about a 50-50 chance when you create an article that it's going to stick around. There's administrators who do nothing but just click delete, delete, delete all day long. Is anyone here a wiki admin? Okay. Yeah, if there's anyone that wanted to come in and sit on the panel, that would be fine. So my day job, real quick, I make computer games. I also write books on cryptography. I helped Dan Brown with the research for his novel, The Da Vinci Code, actually the sequel of Da Vinci Code, Lost Symbol, and then he named a character after me in The Lost Symbol. So if you've read that, there's a character named Nola Kay, which is a scrambled version of Ilanka. And through my association with Dan Brown is one of the ways that I got involved with Wikipedia, because I noticed that in Da Vinci Code, he'd written a lot about the Knights Templar. And I went and I read the Wikipedia article about the Knights Templar. It wasn't very good at the time, so I decided to try and improve it. And I was immediately launched into all of the behind-the-scenes politics that's going on Wikipedia, but I managed to bring it up to you can promote articles, just like you have levels in a game and you can promote your character. On Wikipedia, you can promote an article, and I got it up to what's called good status, and then to the highest level that an article can reach on Wikipedia, which is called featured status, which means it can show up on the front page of Wikipedia. It's a long political process, takes months to do, but I arranged for the article about Knights Templar to show up on the front page of Wikipedia on October 13th, 2007, which was a very special date, it was the 700-year anniversary of October 13th, 1307, when King Philip had a bunch of the Templars arrested. So as I got into Wikipedia, and sometimes you can just edit an article, no problem, the edits that you make stick, and sometimes you'll make an edit and then someone else will change it back to something else, and then someone else comes in and edits and then change back, and you get into what's called an edit war, as people start battling over what an article is going to say. And this is especially a problem in areas of ethnicity and geography on Wikipedia. For example, the article about Jerusalem might have editors from Israel that are coming in to edit the article in a way that they think it should be written, and then you'll have editors from Palestine that are coming in and trying to change the article and the history of Jerusalem. You'll also see these wiki battles going on in things, anything to do with pseudoscience, cold fusion. There have been some massive battles on Wikipedia about the cold fusion articles. And you'll also just get kind of odd little corners of Wikipedia. There's over 3 million articles on the English version of Wikipedia. And most of them are edited without a problem, but you'll get these little pockets of disputes that'll show up. So one that I'm helping out on as an administrator is about tree shaping right now. There are people who grow trees into interesting shapes, and there's a battle over what that art should be called. Should it be called tree shaping? Should it be called arbor sculpture? And they will battle about this for years, and there's megabytes of discussions going on about this. So, very quickly, the main page of Wikipedia, and it has various sections, so that the featured article will be up here. There will also usually be some news. The Did You Know section down here will be from Wikipedia's newest articles. Articles that have been created within the last week or two and might have some interesting factoid will show up there. And along, something you may notice is that with every Wikipedia article, there's always a discussion tab. And if you click on that discussion tab, this is when you start seeing all of these arguments arguments, discussions. Sometimes it's very civil and collegial, and sometimes not so much. And people will be talking about, should the article say this? Should we expand this section? How come this source isn't being used properly? And if you really want to get into the nitty-gritty, go to the discussion pages. They say you don't want to see how laws and sausages are made. Well, you don't want to see how laws, sausages, and Wikipedia articles are made. But if you want to, you can go to the discussion page. You can also click on the history tab of a page, and you can see every edit that's ever been made to a particular page. And you can see when it was made, you can see who made it, and you can see exactly what they did. So this will happen in the edit wars, because someone can come to this and they can say, aha, one of my arch wiki enemies, Jeff, made an edit, and they can say, revert just that edit, just what Jeff made. All the other edits are fine, but just revert whatever Jeff said. And then Jeff will come along and say, aha, well, you know, Mary did this, and they'll revert just what Mary did. And if they can't resolve it, there are methods for dispute resolution on Wikipedia, but if Jeff and Mary can't figure it out, that's when other members of the community have to come in, and administrators have the power to block someone. And there's very elaborate dispute resolution processes involving mediation and arbitration, and something called an arbitration committee with members of the community, Wikipedians, who are elected by the wiki community for a 2 or 3 year term often to arbitrate these really intractable disputes. They never, and this is very important, the arbitration committee, dispute resolution mediation, they never will make a decision on the content of an article. They'll never say, this is how the article should be written. They will only make decisions on user conduct. So they will look at who's in a dispute on an article and say, are these people arguing in a way that could lead towards some sort of a solution? And if they are, leave them alone, let them figure it out. But if someone's just got their heels stuck in and they won't budge and they won't compromise, they won't try to reach consensus, then the arbitration committee can say, okay, you are no longer allowed to edit that article. And those are the kinds of decisions that are made.
We were a part of one about 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And basically it's just like they get statements from all parties involved, and then you can also comment on it if you have some sort of if you have some knowledge of the events, just like witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it can take a couple of months.
These things can drag on. They take an enormous amount of time. So unfortunately, sometimes in these large disputes, they are won not necessarily by the people with the better arguments, but by the people who just have more free time, mm-hmm. and are willing to spend the time. Yes, it looks like you have a question. Yes, the question was, are the decisions public? And the answer is absolutely yes. Everything, well, 99.9% of everything on Wikipedia is public. Every dispute, every tit for tat.
Every edit is public.
Yeah.
That was my question, the decisions of the panel.
Yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. Anything that's on Wikipedia is pretty much in the history of Wikipedia. You can actually revert pages back to all the way to the beginning of the wiki.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was started in, 2004?
Ballpark, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can actually revert some of the earliest articles 7 years if you wanted to find out.
You'd probably get reverted back pretty quick. But
right,
yeah.
But you can also take a look and see how the history has. And it's actually, I've done this for fun before, is actually take a look at the history of an article and see the changes that have come to it. A lot of changes you'll see are just spam messages and stuff like that. But it's interesting to see how the articles evolve to
Hillary,
that point.
Hillary, you're on the panel. I'm okay. Right, okay. No sitting in the front row. Okay.
Let's do that. That's a nice little one.
Did you get to finish?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have two other participants. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
I'm Hillary. What do they need to know about me?
Everything. Your blood type.
I don't even know my blood type. I'm short.
How long have you been on Wikipedia? What do you do? What do you write about?
I've been editing Wikipedia since about 2006. I probably only have about 3,000 main space edits.
Only.
Hey, compared to how many you have, or him. see. I mostly edit in the vein of Georgia Tech and Georgia Tech history. And also, I do some consulting for businesses so that they can have articles about their businesses that fit within the Wikipedia standards and not appear to be advertising.
I'm Andrew Guyton. We both graduated from Georgia Tech. Go Jackets. I've got about 36,000 edits, several featured articles, and I've been editing since about 2006. I tend to focus also on Georgia Tech history and making sure that articles about Georgia Tech don't appear to be spam or advertisements. And also, when sports fans edit pages, they're usually saying, "Go Dogs," you know, "Jackets suck." I revert that kind of stuff.
So something interesting is the way that Wikipedians tend to introduce ourselves. We have various ways of determining status between Wikipedians. And one is, how long have you been on the project? How many edits do you have? Because often, if someone is coming to Wikipedia for spam purposes, they normally only edit a very specific article. They edit an article about their company or about their favorite pop star or something that's going to give them some sort of an advantage in some way, maybe politicians. And this has happened in the past where the aides of one congressman will go in and put in bad stuff about the opponent candidates. And we can tell, experienced Wikipedians can tell, because we can see every edit that any account has ever made. And if we see an account making an edit that would appear controversial, we look, how many edits has this account made? This account is not over 100 edits, and it's kind of instant. We won't trust anyone unless they have at least like 1,000 edits to prove that they're bona fide members of the community. Someone who's like myself, and I've got, I think, 40,000 edits. If you were to list all the Wikipedians, and there are millions of people who have edited Wikipedia, and I'm probably in the top 350 or so.
I'm just inside the top 1,000, so
right.
There's a list.
Yeah. Another way to judge status is, has someone created articles that have been promoted up, you know, to what's called good status and to featured status? And I've got, I think, 3 articles to featured status, but you've got a lot more than that. How many articles have you brought to featured status?
4 or 5.
I want to say 4 or 5.
Yeah. It's a very time-consuming process, but there's a lot of status involved with it.
It's actually quite painful.
Yes.
It's like a PhD defense, basically.
Yeah, it really is. They're like, why did you use this source? Or why didn't you use this source? Or you have too many sources from this publisher or this.
And there's not a period right here. Please add it.
Yeah, your image caption isn't right.
I can't add it myself. Just do it.
Feature status isn't something that's just given and stays that way, too. Feature status, you have to continually keep the article up to date to that status, or it could be or you could lose that status. And you'll see, and I'm sure Lonk will have pictures and everything about how the history of the article in that respect on the talk pages for that article as well. It'll have its history, when it was promoted, when it was demoted, why it was demoted, why it was promoted, stuff like that.
There was a question here that someone had.
I guess not.
Oh, I thought I saw a hand up. Okay. Going on a little bit more about Wikipedia, this is, some people think it's like larger than the Library of Congress, and it's really not. It's more like one aisle in your standard library, though it is growing very rapidly. And in 2009, it was equivalent to about 987 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. By 2010, we're up to 1,434, and as of when I checked just shortly before DragonCon, it's equivalent, just the English Wikipedia is equivalent to 1,571 volumes. But if you take all of the Wikipedias involved, it's going to be much, much larger than that. Another misconception is that there are all these language Wikipedias, and there's a perception that if there's an English article, that the French Wikipedia in French will be a French translation of the Wikipedia article, but which is not true. The French version could be completely different from the English version, and you'll see that, as I was talking, like with the city of Jerusalem. You might go to the Israeli Wikipedia and you'll see what they say about the history of Jerusalem, and then go to the Arabic Wikipedia history of Jerusalem. It could be entirely different things, but it could be very interesting kind of comparing what the different ones say. And Google's doing some interesting things with translation. So I can go to the Arabic Wikipedia now, and I can click translate this page, and I can actually read much of, get the gist of what they're saying there. Showing the growth curve of Wikipedia. You can also go to the site called stats.grok.se and get individual statistics for every single article. So this is in the article of Jerusalem showing for the month of May 2009. I just kind of picked something at random. And you can see how many people are visiting that article. And this one showing that on average it's getting between 3 and 5,000 people per day that are coming to the article. And if there's something big in the news, you'll see a big spike as lots of members of the public are going to that article. And that's something that Wikipedians are very aware of when we write something, that it's not just a reference work for academics, but it's something that's very much a sort of a public news source. When something big happens, when a pop star, when Michael Jackson passed away, and I think Wikipedia actually crashed for a while, just from everyone coming
yeah.
in.
I remember that.
And trying to, is it true? Did this really happen? But it's also a lot of vandalism comes in. Anyone who has a page about themselves, there's probably someone who's gone in and said, oh, so-and-so actually died. I have a biography on Wikipedia because I'm an author, and there's been a few times that people have gone in and tried to say, oh, Ilanka Dunn and died yesterday. At which point I get friends IMing me saying, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, and then we go and revert the vandalism. There have been multiple cases where a pop figure has seriously died, and the information has showed up on the Wikipedia page before it made it to the major news outlets. Because of this open source kind of crowdsourcing of information.
So the other side of that is just because an article gets a lot of views doesn't mean it's any good.
True.
So.
Okay. And if you're reading Wikipedia and you see something that's wrong, go fix it. Yeah. The worst thing that's going to happen is that someone's going to revert what you change. But I would say the majority of times, as long as you make a good faith change, it's going to stay. Question? So what are readers looking for on Wikipedia? This was something I pulled. I didn't make this. I pulled this off of the open source, the Commons. And this is showing, each column is showing a different language of Wikipedia. So we have English, Chinese, Japanese, French, German, Russian, Spanish, and HI. Is that Hebrew? I'm not even sure. Okay. And it's kind of interesting. The light green there is pop culture, which shows that the English Wikipedia on the far left, there is the most viewed topic on Wikipedia is pop culture. It's huge in Japan, pop culture. It's also kind of interesting seeing the pink lines. Those are sex, and how many people are getting their information about sex by going to Wikipedia. English, not so much in Japan. Japan is much more interested in pop culture than sex, according to this chart.
Although I think they kind of have a little bit more overlap.
But topics like geography, current events, are big topics on Wikipedia. History, culture, and the arts start shrinking a little bit. And it's one of the big criticisms of Wikipedia that it's much more likely to have information about pop culture. Like there might be an article on every single Pokemon, but medieval Turkish monarchs, not so much. But part of that is that people will create articles on what interests them, and they'll be interested by Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or the university that they attended or something to do with the city where they live, and members of the public might not have as much interest as to who ruled Turkey in the year 1055. But then someone comes along who does have that as a hobby, and so they'll kind of start expanding that part of the project and things continue to grow. I already talked a little bit about the arbitration committee. Have you ever been involved in an arbitration?
I stay as far away from that as I possibly can. There's enough drama on what I deal with anyway. You don't want to know what she has to deal with. Talk about whining children. You don't even know.
Each year when there are elections for the arbitration committee, I am one of the Wikipedians. I create a voter guide. And I show what I think about each of the candidates. And I dig into their history, and I say, is this person an administrator? Is this person someone who has more positive contributions than negative contributions? And by presenting that information, it makes me a target. And some of the people that are seeking seats on the committee will then come with ad hominem ad hominem, am I pronouncing that correctly, attacks back on me and try to discredit what I say. So it's really very much like real politics. This was a list of arbitration cases. I just chose this from 2009 at the time. So things that had reached the level of arbitration, anything about Obama was in there. Macedonia, the Tang Dynasty, Scientology, West Bank. And sometimes what the arbitration committee will do is they'll authorize something called discretionary sanctions. And they'll say, okay, we identify this area, this topic area on Wikipedia as being continually subject to long-running disputes where there are editors who are not open to compromise. So we will authorize administrators to just go in and on their say-so start, you know, separating things out, banning editors, blocking editors. In general, administrators are not really allowed to do that. Administrators on Wikipedia, they're not involved with mediation. They're just there to kind of, they're janitors. It's called mop and bucket work. Going in and deleting articles, undeleting articles, seeing if an article is in dispute, protect it so that anonymous editors can't edit it. But when the arbitration committee says, nope, this area is discretionary sanctions, then administrators can go in. But there aren't that many administrators. English Wikipedia, over 3 million articles. There are about 1,500 administrators, but only about 700 of them are active administrators, meaning they've been doing something the last couple of months. It's all volunteer. So if an admin has time to do something, they will, and if not, they may have something going on in real life. There's also a perception that administrators are seasoned academics who really, really, you know, they're there for the research, they really know what they're doing. But in actuality, most of them are teenagers or students who just happen to have some free time and are helping out.
So I actually am not an administrator. I actually prefer to focus on writing content, and administration is, mop and bucket duty. I'd prefer to spend my time writing articles. Yeah. It's additional responsibility that I don't want.
And then, of course, the administrator confirmation process can be a bit of a mess.
So, when I started on Wikipedia, and I'm coming from I'm a game developer, I manage online communities, I've managed these large, massively multiplayer online games, I'm helping out on Wikipedia, and I think, oh, well, okay, I can help out, I'll volunteer to be an administrator. And it caused such a firestorm, because so many members of the community are very anti-authority, and they didn't want someone notable coming in and being an administrator, and so they would vote against me as an administrator, not because I'd done anything wrong, but just they were making stuff up and saying, oh, well, she's a spammer, and she's coming in and she's posting advertising, and they had no proof, but they would just go in and say these things.
Oh, and that sentiment is still so much there, and you even saw that with the recent thing with Jimmy Wales giving up his administrative rights.
Yeah, Jimbo Wales was the founder or co-founder of Wikipedia. That's another
depends
dispute.
On who you are.
Yeah. And so he has certain rights within the community, and there's a controversy as to how much. What he should continue to be able to do within the Wiki community. So while we've been talking here,
It's live.
Oh, it's live. Okay. Yeah. So while we've been talking here on this open project, Nathaniel over there has taken a picture of this room.
And everybody's on Wikipedia now.
What's the article?
It's the Dragon Con article.
Okay. So. There's a couple different ways to do it. I tend to just edit the URL line, and we see that gets us here. This article is written like an advertisement. Okay.
That's been a problem for a while.
Okay. And look, a 2011 DragonCon panel. So he went in there and he took the picture.
You are all now internet famous.
Yes. And awesome. What I did is I actually...
Except for Bill, who apparently wasn't here yet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next time we'll say smile.
And I actually used another project called Wikicommons to upload it. So if somebody else now wants to have the picture because of the fact that it's open source, I've given up the rights to the picture so that you now may see yourselves someplace else for that. And if you take a look at the back of your badges... As long as it's not for a monetary purpose, which Wikipedia is a not-for-profit, it's legal.
Well,
for the most, as okay, far as I understand it,
there are some who would argue because the to be on the commons, an image needs to be authorized for any purpose, commercial or non-commercial.
All right.
So, but I don't think anyone's going to challenge it, so you're probably okay.
Yeah.
Anyone who ever wants to donate an image to Wikipedia, it's a little complex the first few times you do it. There's a long form, and you have to
It's complex whenever you do it.
Yeah, and you have to pick a license, and people go, you know, how do I publish it? What does it mean? The most important thing about an image, if you're uploading it, is do you own the rights to the image? You can't upload an image that you got from somewhere else on the Internet. And even if a friend of yours took a picture and sent it to you, you do not have the rights to upload that image because they still have to give the permission for it. So ideally, the best situation is where you're only uploading images that you've created, and then you authorize it under a free license. There are tons of free licenses, but the two that are the best are you can just say, I authorize this image to be in the public domain, mm-hmm. and the other is, I authorize this image to be used under the Creative Commons Share Alike 3.0.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bill.
So how does that work for, say, historical figures?
Okay, can you repeat the question?
How does that work for, say,
okay.
Yay, microphone. No.
Okay,
I got
okay.
this one.
How does that work for pictures of historical figures?
How does that work for pictures of historical
so
figures?
So, if you own the picture, obviously, you can do it. There are also, if the picture itself is in the public domain, meaning I think it was taken or published before 1923, is
it's
it now?
It's 70 years, I think.
Yeah, I think right now the cutoff date is before 1923. And also, there are exceptions for if it's not a freely licensed photo, if there is no free alternative, they make exceptions for that. So if the person is deceased and it does not appear that there is any sort of freely licensed or freely licensable alternative, they make exceptions for that. If you can find the person or the company that owns the rights to the photograph, there's a whole other process where you can go and you can get permission through them to, and actually Andrew can explain that better than I can because he's gone through that process about a half dozen times at least.
So if there's a company that owns the image and you can get the company to agree to license the image to have it on Wikipedia under a free license, so they're basically giving up rights to license. You have them email a certain address on the commons and say, I own this image and I give permission for you to do whatever with it. And then an administrator will come along and read the email and hopefully update that tag.
Often what I do, because I meet other speakers, like here at Dragon Con, I'm up in the green room and I get talking to someone, they go, oh, I hate my picture on Wikipedia. And I go, okay, well, I can fix that. And then I say, send a new picture to me. So I was like working with a singer named Linda November, and she was the voice of the singing cat in the Meow Mix commercials. Meow, 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 meow. So anyway, so and she didn't have a Wikipedia article. So I went and I wrote an article about her, and I contacted her, and she's in like about in her late 60s and living in Nevada. And then she sent me pictures of herself, and then I uploaded those pictures to the Commons. And I put a tag on it saying, I have permission from the owner of this image, and I will send it. And then I wrote to her and I say, send me an image and send me a letter, and I need, if she took the photo of herself, and it needs one line in, I authorize this image to be used under the CC BY SA Free O license. And then she sends me that letter, and then I forward that letter to the Commons, the OTRS team, and then they attach a key number to the image saying if you go into the database, which they have access to, I don't even have access to that database, and then they can verify that email permission has been received. But I can't just take permission from the person who's in the picture. It has to be permission from the person who took the picture.
In that same vein, when you meet people at conferences like this or professional conferences or sometimes even just walking around, you meet people in kind of interesting ways, basically saying, hey, I'm the primary editor on your Wikipedia article, and it doesn't have a picture. May I take a picture of you? And, I don't know, Andrew and I have done that a couple of times.
Michael Stackpole, I know I put the image on his article.
And Christopher Klaus.
I worked on the article, who played Diablo 2? All right. You know the composer of that game, Matt Uhlman. I sent him a message on LinkedIn and said, "Hey, I'm working on your article," and he didn't have very many good. He basically hated his Wikipedia article, and I helped him explain. You know, I helped him make it better. That's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. He is not exactly the most tactful individual, let's put it that way.
But he makes good music. The other thing I want to say about this is if it is an image of a building or a statue...
That gets complicated. Depends on where the building or statue is.
So Georgia Tech has a campus in France, and my friend took a picture of said building, and I am not allowed to upload it to Commons because I don't have permission from the architect.
Right, because that country does not have what's called a freedom of panorama law.
So despite the fact that it's a campus of an American university and it is owned by an American university, it was designed, I believe, by... Was it designed by a French architect?
I have no idea.
I don't remember. Even if it was designed by an American architect, we would have to hunt him down and either get permission from him, or if he's dead, permission from his estate. So
same thing goes for.
It's a shame. It's a real shame.
Yeah. So that's also the reason why things like and then don't get me started on pictures of the Eiffel Tower after dark. That was I've seen a mess about that in more places than just Wikipedia.
But it gets inconsistent. For example, if you go to a museum and you see some pre-Columbian pottery, right? By entering the museum, on the back of your ticket, it'll say you are not allowed to take photos of the things in this museum. However, Wikipedia, at the Wiki University, it'll say, ignore that, go ahead and take pictures of the things in the museum. Because there's a debate on if pre-Columbian pottery, does it belong to the museum or does it belong to humanity? Is the image of it, is it something that the museum has the right to say only the museum can authorize people to take photos of this, or is it okay for any Wikipedian to go in there, take a picture and say, here's an image of it on Wikipedia? And Wikipedia's stance is something that old, anyone should be allowed to take a picture of it and share it on the internet, but not everyone agrees with that.
Plus the Smithsonian stuff, you take a picture of that stuff?
The question was about the Smithsonian. I don't specifically know what the Smithsonian stance is on it, but my guess is that there's something... Well, but the Smithsonian
is publicly funded.
Yeah, it's public, yeah. And
it's public property at that point.
Yeah, generally any work by the United States government is automatically in the public domain, but then we have the issue with WikiLeaks and classified documents. Does that mean that those are in the public domain? Anyway, long debates about all these things. Another area where there's a lot of dispute on Wikipedia has to do with areas about religion, and there's a big debate right now about new religious movements going on Wikipedia, because sometimes you'll have cults coming along and they want the article about their cult or about the leader of their cult to be written in such and such a way, and even if they're writing things which are wrong, which are not backed up by any kind of sources, the cult will set up watches on a Wikipedia article. And they'll watch to see if anyone else has changed it, and then they'll change it back. And then someone else, some other Wikipedian, may try to fix the article, and then the cult members will change it back. And it just becomes so exhausting to Wikipedians to try and change it that sometimes we'll just throw our hands up and say, we're not going to deal with cult. If the cult article is wrong, it's wrong. And we're
sometimes
just not going to spend time on it.
Sometimes those get kicked to arbitration. That's a good example of what happens.
Yeah. But even then, if it goes to arbitration, there's still the case that someone needs to enforce whatever the arbitrators have come up with, and sometimes people just don't want to deal with it. Another issue has to do with is Wikipedia censored, and the decision of the community is that no, Wikipedia is not censored, but there are areas that are gray. There was Jimmy Wales went through and did a big cleanup because people were posting a lot of pictures of pornography on Wikipedia, and finally he just drew the line and said, enough. This is not encyclopedic, and there was a big cleanup that went on. But another area that's in dispute has to do with Islam. Devout Muslims, believe that it is wrong to show an image of a person, and especially wrong to show an image of Muhammad. It's considered blasphemous to show an image of Muhammad, even if it's a positive and beautiful image. So generally when Muhammad is represented in Islamic art, you'll see a veil across his face, or you'll see the face blanked out in some way. But even having those images where there's a veil or we're blanked out, some Muslims believe Wikipedia should not have those images at all. So we routinely have people coming into the articles about Islam, and any image that looks like it might possibly represent Muhammad, they'll delete it, and then someone else will go in and put it back, and then it gets deleted and it gets put back. And so on the discussion pages of some of these Islamic articles, we have these notices saying there has been a discussion about this, and their prior discussion has determined pictures of Muhammad will not be removed from this article. If you try to remove one, it will be reverted. And I don't know if there are any Muslims in the room, but I was going to show some of these images, so I just wanted to give you advance warning, since some people do find them offensive. I personally don't find them offensive. I find them very beautiful, but these are some of the images that people are just coming in and removing. This image is showing, it was inspired by a story about Muhammad in Mecca resolving a dispute. Muhammad is a peacemaker. There was a debate about rebuilding the religious structure called the Kaaba. And this is a story from hundreds of years ago, and how all the clan elders were arguing about who should place the last stone into the structure, the black stone. And Muhammad resolved the dispute by having the stone placed on a carpet, and then all the clan elders simultaneously lifted the carpet. So they were all lifting the stone, and then he took the stone and put it in place. And I think it's a beautiful story, but this image is constantly being deleted from the articles because people, oh, it's Muhammad, and we can't have an image of Muhammad.
Now, recently, and I actually don't know if it's finished or what the result of it was, but they were doing a community vote on user-controlled shuttering of images, so that you could go in and into your user settings on Wikipedia and say, when I load an article, do not automatically show me images with these tags. And so you could put in a tag that says, do not automatically show me images of Muhammad, do not automatically show me images of pornography. And instead of the image on the page, it would then show you a link saying that, you know, your personal filters have hidden this image, and then you could click on the link if you want to see the image. So they've been voting on that as a sort of compromise to any kind of censorship from higher up, and to basically people being able to sort of protect their own sensibilities. But there's even somewhat of a controversy over that, because the tags are still going to be crowdsourced. So if somebody found something objectionable, they could tag it as pornography, or they could tag it as something that they would expect most people would maybe want to block. And that was one of the main arguments against implementing that system. And I don't know how that turned out, or if that's finished yet.
I think the referendum is still going on
right
now. Another classic dispute, and this is often used as a milestone in disputes on Wikipedia, was the naming of the city of Gdansk or Danzig. This was something, and especially in Europe, in Eastern Europe, every area has different names, because maybe it was controlled by the Germans or the Poles or the Russians, and you could have a city like between Hungary and Slovakia, where a city is on the south side of the river, which might belong to Slovakia, but the ethnic majority is Hungarian, but the river going through it tends to have a Slovakian name, unless it's being referred to by some other ethnic minority. And so they get into debates of, okay, the Wikipedia article about this particular river, what should it be called, which name should it be called? And they get in these massive battles about this. And one of the classics was about Gdansk. So the German editors wanted to say Danzig, and then others would come up and say, okay, well, it was called Danzig from this year, but what about someone who was from this ethnicity, who was born there, and his family referred to it as Gdansk? And they just had massive wars, and then they finally, after 2 years of debate, they finally came up with a set of rules on how to deal with it. And every article that even mentions Gdansk, it doesn't have to be about Gdansk, but even mentions the city, has this large template on the talk page of the article saying, if you're referring to something, if you're referring to the city from between the years 1308 and 1945, you must refer to it as Gdansk, or I'm sorry, it's Danzig. And if you're referring to it before 1308 or after 1945, then you're going to use the name Gdansk. Now, if it's a biography of someone who identifies as German, then use this name. If it's a biography of someone who identifies as Polish, use this name. And they came up with all these rules, and finally we had peace. So it's a very complex truce that was negotiated. But other disputes now, we've encouraged them to use kind of the same pattern. Okay, you're not going to find one answer. Can you come up with some sort of a compromise,
it's
consensus?
Kind of the same rules that whether you use British spellings or American spellings.
Oh, gosh.
That can be a mess.
One that I was involved with way back when was elevations for mountains between meters and feet.
Yeah. Now they have that nice conversion template.
Yeah, and I'm noticing, and this was the solution that I remember, and I was just checking the articles to make sure, is that in countries that use feet, it's put in feet, and then in countries that use meters, it's meters, then feet. Feet, then meters in like the U.S. and stuff like that, and then meters and feet in Europe and Canada and other places like that.
Yeah. And in other places where there's a debate on American spelling or British spelling, the rule is generally like that. If this is an American topic, it should use American spelling. If it's a British topic, use British. And if it's unclear which topic it is, the rule is whoever got there first can say so. Now, if an American editor wrote the article, then, and they want it to be American spelling, it's going to stick with American spelling. Even if British editors work on it later, and it's crazy the kind of things people will argue
about. So, for example, I wrote most of the article about Pottermore, so dibs.
Yeah,
Pottermore?
It's the Harry Potter website that launched recently where you read the books and supposedly interactive. I haven't actually logged in yet.
So I can see people arguing because Rowling is, you know, from the UK, but you're from the United States, and I can see that.
And it's sort of, you know, it's an international phenomenon. People in the States read it. People in the UK read it. There's translations in both, so...
You potster, you.
Oh, and what's fun is the article I wrote then got translated into about 10 languages the next day.
Wow.
It was fun.
If anybody wants to see a dispute in action, there's a website that tracks the disputes. It's called WikiRage. And you can go there and say which, over the last hour, and this is what showing at the time I did, over the last hour, which articles are in the middle of edit wars. And sometimes an article is in an edit war simply because it's popular. There was something in the news or it's on the front page of Wikipedia. And so there's a bunch of people rushing in there and doing a lot of quick edits. And sometimes there's just this long, ongoing dispute. Question?
Yes, I'd love to hear about what happened.
I'd love to hear about what happened with the Paul Revere's ride, Sarah Palin, all the people that backed that trying to... I would like some info on that. I'm kind of curious.
I remember. I read a bunch about it. I did not get in the middle of it. But I was very, very entertained by what was going on with that, because for those of you who might not be familiar, Sarah Palin sort of botched the story of Paul Revere at a some kind of campaign political event, and her followers, I suppose you could call them,
minion
disciples, possibly, were trying to defend her, saying, oh, well, she just mixed up one small detail, and oh, technically Paul Revere really did tell the British, that the Americans had so many forces, but, excuse me. So they were trying to essentially retcon the story of Paul Revere on Wikipedia to back up Sarah Palin's version of it. This resulted in an entertaining edit war that was covered by the mainstream media. So I'm not sure if that's the first edit war she covered on 24 Hours.
Stephen Colbert.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. That was kind of a joke, though, so I'm not sure that really counts. This one was like people were serious.
And as far as I know, that article does...
And actually, I believe, does the article actually still mention the whole thing with Sarah Palin?
Yeah, it says... I remember reading it roughly the time that this was going on.
There was a whole section.
It said that... the British were, he was going to warn that they were going to arrest Samuel Adams and John Hancock, and now it says that he was going to warn that they were going to take, they're going to take away our guns.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just astonished that...
Is that on the, okay, that's a public. For a while, there was a section on the Paul Revere article about Sarah Palin's remarks. I don't know if that section is still there. I hope it's not.
I know that the article has changed.
If that section is still on the Paul Revere article, I weep for our future.
As a tip for using Wikipedia, there's a tool that you can activate in preferences called pop-ups, which is wonderful, and some of you may have been watching as I'm doing this. I'm seeing that there are sources in the section, and I can hover my mouse over a source, and it'll tell me what the source is and often link to it. Depending on how well cited, how the citation was formatted, I can see who wrote it and link to it, and maybe even a specific quote from the source. There's a lot of fun things that can be done with pop-ups. For example, on my watch list, I can hover over the history of something, and I can quickly see who made recent changes to that article. Then I could hover over a specific edit, and it'll show me, depending on how fast, exactly what was done on an edit. And this is very useful for people that are spending a lot of time on Wikipedia. Highly recommend it.
I hate when I get logged out and I don't have that.
Yeah, and then you have to refresh to get it going again.
So I have two basic or elemental questions, and hopefully the second one will kick off a bit of a discussion in the room. If I'm not mistaken, it was reported in the mainstream media about a year ago that Wikipedia itself was having financial difficulty and that it may fail. So what is the update on that, and more basically, how is Wikipedia actually financed? Is, for example, is it a nonprofit?
Let's just answer that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
They're very good at begging for money. You may have seen the templates. As far as I know, if they ever run into trouble, they'll just put another template up, and every college student ever will chip in a dollar.
Yeah.
Got it.
They run, I believe, almost entirely on donations.
Mm-hmm. So they might have been overdue for a donation drive or something. I'm not concerned about Wikipedia being financially solvent, because, let's face it, they run a server farm or something, and... It's the cost.
I don't think they have any paid employees at all.
They have a few, a handful, less than a dozen.
So,
I'm sorry, so that's an article on that the other day about them needing some cash.
I am not up to date on their current financial solution.
They obviously have cash because you're not seeing it at the top of the page right now. Because that's where you'll see it. You'll see it on the top of every page.
Get a picture of yourself and see that they're these donations because they're in the negative. And nothing else. How do you guys?
If they're still in the negative, Jimmy Wheel's face would be on that page.
I don't know whose face that was. It was the guy without it.
Yeah. Him.
You know, they might get better donations instead of Jimmy Wells, they put up pictures of kittens.
Donate, or this kitten will...
So, secondly,
Wikimedia is one of the projects of something called the Wikimedia Foundation, which has several different projects.
You can donate to that.
Okay.
And get a 401, whatever, donation.
I would assume
so. As any high school student will attest, if you do a Google search for any term, the Wikipedia definition will be the first thing that comes up.
I've actually noticed it dropping in search rate.
Okay, well, yeah.
It's usually
I guess on that, what's going on there in terms of the Google, how Google specifies its search term, and I guess more broadly and more critically, how are we going to move forward where, all of the kids who are in high school, college, and university today believe that Wikipedia is the single most authoritative source on a given subject.
Well, it is not. Just for the record,
it is not.
Okay.
Well, let's
see
what his reply is to that.
Oh. Well, actually, I also wanted to add something to that question. Not only do we need to convince the students that it's a good... honestly, a lot of students are pretty convinced that Wikipedia is a reliable source. The problem I'm finding as an educator is most educators are not convinced. I've actually heard some of my students come with stories of teachers who are teaching a particular topic and deliberately go in and put in little bitty edits into the article to try to catch people that, oh, you used Wikipedia as your source, you know, F on your paper, something like that.
The teachers are vandalizing Wikipedia.
Exactly.
So I know a high school student who did that to sabotage one of her classmates who she believed was pretty much plagiarizing Wikipedia and wanted to nail her for it.
Right. So how can we get educators to have more faith in Wikipedia, basically?
I think kind of strike a balance between that, and I see like most educators very, very strongly and vehemently saying don't use Wikipedia ever, and that's not helpful.
That's like saying you're not allowed to use a dictionary, you should just know how to spell.
But I think what it is it's difficult to I guess flesh out the nuance that Wikipedia is a tool and it is a useful tool. However, it is not the be all and end all of information.
It's a good start.
It is a good start. It's good for giving you a very general background on something and giving you, you know, and especially giving you an idea of where to go next. Most articles, especially about academic topics, generally have a nice list of references at the bottom.
If you guys remember a couple years back, it was all in the news about how Wikipedia was unreliable. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Yeah. But that changed the culture noticeably. You see lots of citation needed tags. You'll have unreferenced section tags. If there's not a reference, you know, someone get on to you for it. To get an article featured, you can't just use any source anymore.
They have policies on what is and what is not considered a reliable source for a statement. And most statements, if they are in any way vaguely controversial as to what they are, it has to have a reliable source attached to it. And from an academic standpoint, I would say that the best thing to tell students is, yes, you can use Wikipedia. Do not use it as a source. Use it as a way to get background information and as a starting place to find actual reliable sources about what you are researching.
Yeah.
There are references at the bottom. Most of those are actually, everything from news articles to scientific journals to other academic journals, all referenced in articles about anything. A lot of the references also will go to websites about that are maybe affiliated with companies, but it gives you a very, very broad perspective on any topic just by just combing through the references section.
Yep. Actually, this dovetails nicely with the question I was going to ask you about. I teach at Georgia Southern University, and our university and LSU have recently been selected to partner with Wikipedia. And we are going to be trained as what are called Wikipedia ambassadors at our campus. I don't really know an awful lot of what that's supposed to entail, even though I'm going to be going through this training. I think partly it's going to be to try to elevate the status of Wikipedia in the university, not only to help students learn how to use it effectively and appropriately, but also to get more academics involved in creating and updating and supervising these articles. But I also have a suspicion that one of the things they're going to try to get us to do is to incorporate Wikipedia in our classes and get our students involved in editing and updating and revising and creating new entries.
Very useful tool.
So, but I'm also a little apprehensive about this, with especially in regard to what you were saying earlier about how 1,500 articles appear or edits appear per day, and 750 of them are automatically deleted.
Articles.
What kind of message is that going to be sending to our students if we say, write these articles, put them on Wikipedia, and then the next day they'll be deleted for you?
Well, we can tell you how to get an article that will stick. And the most important thing is repeating what she was saying, is sourcing. If an article is created and there are multiple sources, citations, already on the article, I would say a minimum of three, okay, that article's not going to get deleted. Or it's not going to get deleted immediately. Someone may come and challenge it. And then it would go through a more elaborate discussion process. But the article, and I've been on what's called New Article Patrol, And there are hundreds of articles that are created every day that are crap articles. People go and create articles about their dog. They'll create an article about a used car lot. And these kinds of things will get deleted rapidly. And sometimes people will create, in all good faith, an article about a topic that's genuinely notable, but they don't include any sources with it. So no one else can verify that that topic is notable, so the article will get deleted. But if you write an article in good faith, use proper language, like don't go say, you know, go Jets or whatever, and use sources, it'll probably stay.
And
so in my experience, if you have at least four sources on the article and they're properly formatted, and that's your first edit, it'll sail through.
Right. The other thing is it's a lot of teachers in particular, a lot of professors, when they're trying to incorporate Wikipedia into their curriculum, they want their students to create new articles about something in the field of, you know, the class. And sometimes that can be really, really hard because there are a lot of times are articles about almost anything you could think of that would be within their capability within a quarter or within a semester. So this happened to a friend of mine where she had to do something about, gosh, I don't even remember now, but there were no new articles that she reasonably could have written. So my recommendation was to tell her to talk to the professor and to suggest to him to create the option to improve upon an existing article within that field. And so she made the suggestion, and he didn't even realize that was an option, that he could, you know, that somebody could just go in as a newbie and edit something that already existed. He didn't have that fundamental understanding of how Wikipedia works.
Another way I'd suggest to not do it is this happened apparently at a class at Georgia Tech where they set up their own MediaWiki, the software behind Wikipedia, which is free. They set up their own installation of that, and each student worked on like one article about Georgia Tech, and they couldn't copy from the existing Wikipedia, and they used the license that was incompatible with Wikipedia's license, so I can't copy from that to Wikipedia. So these students did this work using a wiki, writing completely redundant content that I then can't use.
So if you are going to create your own sort of sandbox wiki that you maybe one day hope to have some of that information be able to be ported to the actual Wikipedia, please make your licenses compatible. Please.
Also, they had their own style guide.
Going back to your point about being a Wikipedia ambassador, the advice I would have, one is just like the talk I'm giving. This is the kind of talk that you could give to other people at the university. What is Wikipedia? How does discussion pages work? And the best way to learn about Wikipedia is to write an article and get it up to what's called good status or featured status. It gives you such a broad understanding of the wiki process, of which sources are good sources, which sources are bad sources, which areas are controversial. And I have seen many teachers do that with their students, say, okay, class project, pick a topic, and we're going to get this article up to good status. And they learn a lot.
And it also gives you a good sense of how things like peer review go. For it's not quite the same process as for academic papers, but you get used to having your writing and your sources and your wording, I mean, to very, very minuscule nitpickery. Just, you know, looked at and complained about and suggested upon, and it's very, very helpful as a learning experience for learning how to receive edits, if that makes sense, edits to your own work, and that is extraordinarily helpful, especially with an academia.
So I think an interesting project would be to pick maybe two or three articles, because it's an intensive process, and have it be like a class assignment to get these to featured status. And that's tough.
Yeah, I would just pick one, even one article. Also,
well, I mean,
we're here to help. You know, I've got a card up here. You know, you're welcome to write to me. Also, my username on Wikipedia is Ilonka, and you can just come and you can leave a message on my own discussion page and say help, and I'll pass along any information I can.
Well, my concern was the number of students. You know,
yeah.
Having 23 people working on one article would be a little confusing, but yeah, it'd be interesting for sure.
All right. Well, not a question, but more of a comment. Going back a few minutes ago to the question of the Google status, and I don't know how Wikipedia does it, but Google's algorithms are contrived and convoluted, but they mostly involve two big elements, the metadata of the page, which involve the keywords and stuff like that, and the linking. So what I think what you're seeing is that a lot of the wiki articles that have been truly researched, you'll see that they've got just scabs, dozens of cited and linked articles to journals and newspapers and what have you, and that number of links back and forth elevates the status in Google.
Yeah.
Aren't most of the links on Wikipedia nofollow, though? I don't
know. No. Some of the Wikipedia space pages are nofollow.
Oh, okay.
I've got a question of how a startup company could reliably create a basic first wiki page.
So you want a wiki page about your company. The best way to do that is have news articles published about your company.
Okay.
Amen.
Not press releases, but actually go...
Actual
articles from
the company.
Yeah, a newspaper or not just on a blog, because they don't really like blogs over there.
It has to be in print.
No message boards.
Yeah. No message boards. Pretty much newspaper, local TV... let's see, what else?
reviews. Academic, it has to, we'll get someone, say example, an artist comes in and says, I'm an artist, I've been creating art for 20 years, I'm displaying work in 12 different countries, but when I tried to create an article about myself, it was deleted. And the way to avoid that process is to have third-party sources other than the artist. And it can't be a gallery that is displaying the artist. That's really not going to help. But having news articles will help. Having academic journals will help. Having the artist's name mentioned in books will help. Having winning an award will help.
That's it too.
Awards are a big help.
The more notable the award, the more helpful that is. If the award itself has a Wikipedia page, you're great. Another thing that's also... it's not completely forbidden to use, say, your company's website as a reference for basic information, like how many people work there, who's the CEO, who's the founder, that sort of thing. But outside of basic factual statistical information, you generally, you know, you want outside sources.
It's pretty funny for an internet encyclopedia how biased they are against internet sources.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So where I would start is wherever the company is based, I would contact your local newspaper. I'm in St. Charles, so contact the St. Charles Journal or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and say, hey, I got a company. Is there a business journal? Is there a weekly alternative newspaper? And get them to write about you. If they won't write about you, Wikipedia, there's probably not enough for Wikipedia. But that's where I would start, is your local paper.
On another note, however, if you were going to be editing or having somebody from your company editing the page about your company, make sure those are not the only edits you have, and make sure that your username is not affiliated with the company.
Right.
So it looks like we have to wrap it up.
I think maybe one more question. Okay.
I apologize if this was covered earlier. I got lost, so I just got in here. I think a lot of my questions just got answered by the business question. I just want to know if there are any other hurdles. I'm a director for an anime convention in the Oklahoma area, and I've seen under the special interest anime conventions Midwest, they're smaller and larger than us versions, so I didn't think that would be a problem, but our site wasn't up all the time, so evidently Wikipedia pulled us, and the process of getting back in has been kind of harrowing. And a local writer has taken up the cross to try and get us in, but I just did a search now for it. It's still not in there. So I was going to ask, is there any... We didn't have any news articles at the time. Now I realize we can add those because we've had it from this year's. But is there anything you can... Is there any kind of bias or other issue I may need to jump over because we've already been pulled once?
Sources.
And there is a strong bias against articles that have been deleted once already. There is a slightly higher barrier to entry to get it put back up. So you pretty much have to be perfect right out of the gate. So basically, sources, better if they're external sources for everything. And for a convention in particular, you can't report your own attendance numbers. You have to have them reported by someone else. Otherwise, they're just like, you're making that up.
Yep.
And also having your website being down, they're like, well, they don't even have a website. They don't exist.
It was a splash page. You would go back.
That's also part of it. They're biased against internet sources, but if you're not on the internet, you don't exist.
I think we're out of time, but I'd like to thank the panelists for coming up here and thank the audience as well for some very good questions. Thank you very much.